Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now it's time for our Friday gathering, and this week I'm joined by Gerry Buttimer, Minister of State at the Department of Rural and Community Development, and Fine Gael TD for Cork South Central, who joins us from our Cork studio. I'm also joined by Sinead Gibney in studio here in Dublin, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Rathdown. Sinead O'Carroll is editor of thejournal.ie, and Louise Bayliss is head of Social Justice and Policy at St Vincent de Paul. We're going to start with, it's actually a report on the front of today's Examiner, claiming that proposed increases of up to €12 in core social welfare rates could be at risk now. Gerry, I might come to you first. Gerry Buttimer, are you in favour of that increase, firstly, a €12 increase across the board when it comes to social welfare?
Good morning, Claire. First of all, the most important point is that we're in pre-budget discussions and negotiations, and there will be all sorts of kite flying. The Department of Social Protection with Minister Cleary are engaging in a discussion of a budget of €27 billion, which is a significant amount of government investment. And just this week alone, government have announced the fuel allowance, which is an extension to over 410 households. So the budget has been discussed. I'm a Minister of the Department in Transport and Community. I'm meeting with Minister Chambers and Minister Cleary next week looking for further investment in rural transport, as an example, in rural transport. So what we want to see happen here is target interventions to allow for us as a government, and you mentioned earlier about the whole uncertainty in the global world, to protect jobs, to protect the economy, and to be able to build more houses and to be able to build infrastructure. So the point and comment is this, very simply. The budget in the round will be about protecting jobs, but also looking after people who are most vulnerable or older and people with disabilities. Yeah. And we have, as you know,
but you've done a great job there, Gerry, of not answering the question, which
Well, as you know, Claire, the budget hasn't been decided, and I can give you a whole heap of things that I want to see happen in both my departments, but there will be negotiations, there will be discussions, and Ministers Donoghue and Chambers will intend
But do you have a personal view on the proposed increase of €12 in core social welfare rates?
My personal view is twofold. Number one, we as a government have an obligation and duty to protect people who are older and most vulnerable and people with disabilities. Secondly, we have a job. And this morning we woke up to news about pharmaceuticals, a geopolitical world that is being really unhinged, to protect our economy and our jobs. The last thing we want to see happen...
The EU says that it doesn't apply to...
Well, if I can make the point, if I came into you this morning and said to you, let's do A, B and C, you will, like the SRI has done, go back and tell me, well, we're back to 2007, 2008 period, and I don't want to go back there because I remember that period very vividly. So what I want to see happen here in a real tangible way is government recognising the importance of, and we know, and all of us live in the real world, Claire, the difficulties that people face with energy, with groceries. And what I want to see happen here is what I just said a minute ago, protect jobs and protect the most vulnerable, and get that both together right.
Well, on the most vulnerable, Louise, your organisation, St Vincent de Paul, recommended that the core rates go up by €16. We're hearing that €12 might not happen across the board. I mean, what will be the impact of that?
The impact on that would be massive, because we didn't just pluck a figure €16 out of the air. What we did was we used the MESL research that's undertaken in our department, which is the minimum essential standard of living. And if we compare that back to 2021, what we see is the purchasing power, if we want to bring it back to pre-cost of living crisis, it would need to go up by €11 just to bring it back to 2021. Now, the government have a commitment to reduce consistent poverty by 2%. We're already at 5%. So if we brought it to €12, we're only bringing it back to 2021 levels. We're not really addressing poverty. And we're seeing the impact of poverty all the time. Like, we have to look at the amount of calls we're getting annually and people looking for help. We see the impact. Our members are going into houses where there's disconnections, where they've got pay-as-you-go meters. They're running out 2 days before their social welfare payment is coming through. We're looking at fuel allowance, for instance, a core payment. And Gerry Buttimer did, the minister did bring it up, and it is a very important payment. But however, we haven't seen that increased since 2022, despite costs going up 60% of electricity and 100% in gas. So we need to see, you know, without those energy credits coming in, we need to make sure that those most vulnerable get those increases. It was masked during the energy credits that came out, but the core payment hasn't gone up. And we have to acknowledge, Claire, the CRU came out with their figures for arrears for the month of June. And there was almost 300,000 households in electricity arrears and 180,000 in gas arrears. That's in June. And we're now heading into winter.
And Dara O'Brien, the minister in charge of energy, is meeting the energy companies today, isn't he, to discuss this with them, how to deal with people in arrears, what supports will be put in place. But you're saying, as a very basic, the €16 needs to happen. Otherwise, there's going to be a reversal in terms of people's income and what they have to survive.
Absolutely. €16 and definitely €9.50, which on the fuel allowance. We'd need to see that going up €9.50. And that's just restoring it to purchasing power back in 2021. With all the increases. So we need to see the €16 for the core social welfare and the €9.50 for fuel allowance. Absolutely.
Sinead, there's always demands, isn't there, from everybody when it comes to budget time. But there has been all this talk around the VAT rate for hospitality, which has a very high price tag attached of €870 million per year.
Yeah, and I think a lot of economists and a lot of analysts now argue that we're not seeing bang for our buck for it. And I think a lot of people, when they are looking at what they want from the budget, if it's not going to be money in their own pockets, and we've been warned basically since the last election that that's not going to happen this time around, what they would like to see is what Louise is talking about, those child poverty figures being worked on. And it looks like what the government is trying to decide now is to balance the wishes of every single social welfare category and those targeted ones that they can point to and say this will help reduce child poverty. What they'll do on the business pressures then with VAT is a different question again. But I think for the fuel allowance, we saw the Independent today say that the fuel allowance is going to go up, not by €9.50, but by €7 per week. But there needs to be kind of three-tier action on energy costs. We need to actually see what the infrastructure capital funding we're going to put in and when we're going to see the results of that. Dara O'Brien talking to the energy companies today, Simon Harris said, questioned whether there was price gouging going on while he's on his US trip. They need to ask about that. Why are some companies able to keep their prices and others aren't? Why do we all have to switch to maintain prices? And why are the parent companies of these companies making so much profit? Obviously, every company has to make profit, but does it need to be to the extent that the profits are there?
But you remember,
and we need to invest in renewables.
The last government brought the retailers in when we saw very high grocery prices and said, please, can you be nicer to your customers? I mean, it didn't achieve anything.
No, but maybe Ciarán Ahern from Labour is calling. I was reading the Dublin Inquirer this week, is calling for re-regulation. That'll scare the bejesus out of companies. So, there is the Oireachtas Energy Committee. There are ways that it can be more than just a simple request. And I think that's one of the approaches. It can't just be continually increasing fuel allowances or energy payments. That's not a way to figure out our energy problems into the future.
I totally agree with you, Sinead, but I think also we need better data. And that's something we've been constantly asking the CRU, the Commission for Regulation of Utilities. We do not know from suppliers yet how many pay-as-you-go meters run out of electricity credit or gas credit before they get their social welfare payment. Anecdotally, we see it from our members. They're going into houses where the money has run out on the meter and they've no electricity.
But you want to see the data on
that, do you? We want the data, and we've asked it, and we've been told by the CRU that the suppliers aren't providing that information. Well, that's crucial, because we hear the data on disconnections, and there has been good work about protecting people during the winter periods. But what we need to see is disconnections because of running out of money.
Sinead, I want to hear from you on the budget, because we had that scare, overnight from Donald Trump, and we're trying to get clarity on it this morning. Does the 100% tariffs on pharma apply to the EU? The EU says it doesn't, but the US hasn't said that so far this morning. So Jerry says this is the time for caution. If you've got it, you've got to hold on to it, because we are under threat here from international disharmony, uncertainty. Do you agree with that? That
no.
We've got to hold what we have now?
I think that is used in a way as a threat. Like, I think, and Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have consistently done this. I mean, the uncertainty around tariffs has dominated since Donald Trump took over. But I really admire, actually, I found that interview with Olaf Gill earlier weird, because it was just came across, he was so adamant that he was sticking to the line of this is the agreement that's been made. But we then have had like a whole discussion this morning around the tariffs. Nobody can get inside Donald Trump's head. Nobody knows where he's going to go. And what we do have is a clear agreement. So I think, you know, then using that, what we don't know is, you know, we don't simply do not know how it's going to play out. So to suggest that because of this uncertainty, we have to
batten down the hatches.
Yeah, exactly. It's just wrong. And I think it's used in a way that's really disingenuous and really, really cynical by our government. We have been clear in our messaging from over successive budgets that what we need are targeted measures and long-term investment in this state to tackle the major societal issues that we have, to invest in infrastructure, both societal infrastructure and actual physical infrastructure, so that we don't have so many people in poverty, so that we don't have to lift so many children out of poverty. But we do have to also do that. So we have to look at targeted measures across the board, and particularly that VAT rate. I think the Journal piece that we saw last week was really, really helpful in outlining and articulating for people what a cost to this state it is. Because I think when you see so starkly that that money is going to end up in the profits of Starbucks and Nando's and not in the pockets of the families who need it most in this state, that's what this government is proposing.
We had a discussion about this yesterday in the studio, and Timmy Dooley was making the point that what they're trying to do is to hold on to the centre of towns and villages, where if you don't have a cafe or a small restaurant or a pub, what do you have?
Absolutely, but that doesn't have to be done with such a blanket VAT rate that benefits bigger companies to the tune of 100 times more. If a small business is only going to get 50,000 and a large business is going to get 500,000, that's not proportionate. Mm-hmm. And those shareholders don't care. They're not going to reinvest in local communities. So you have to provide targeted supports. And I appreciate the pushback from the Restaurants
Association. They're providing jobs in, you know,
absolutely,
in the locations
and
where
I
they are.
I know that there are bureaucratic and administrative burdens placed on these businesses. But yeah, we don't even have the data, going back to Louise's talking about the state doesn't have the data to really design these measures effectively. We don't even know how many of those businesses are mom and pop stores versus those bigger businesses.
Okay.
So until we have,
I want
that,
to hear
I
from Jerry Buttermer on this. Do you support moves to reduce the VAT rate for hospitality?
I do indeed, for a number of reasons. But can I just go back, pivot back for a second? Let's just look at what government have done in terms of for children in the last number of years: free school books, free hot meals, free GP under eights. Energy cost helps in terms of families.
I know, but you're not disputing the child poverty figures.
But we know what has happened, and in fairness,
and with respect, we don't need a history lesson.
No, but what we do need is balanced debate about what government has done.
Yes.
And if I may make the point clear, and I'm in a department which is very much dependent upon people being supported and doing huge work. We had a debate yesterday with Sinead participated on social enterprise in the Dáil. What we must do is to balance the two points I've made already. Protect jobs, and the piece about jobs is the people who work in our cafes or small medium enterprises, and we have a big conference tomorrow in Carlow where we'll hear from people firsthand.
Yeah.
Secondly, why give it
across the board so that the big, huge conglomerates that operate increasingly in this country will get the benefit too?
Well, some of the conglomerates, and I'm speaking predominantly here for the people who are employing people in here, where I'm in the Cork Street and out of Plunkett Street, small shops, small restaurants who are providing a huge employment base. Some of the people are franchisees. They're paying a franchise, so they're getting it as well. So are we saying to some of these people, you can't be an entrepreneur?
But they're very successful businesses.
But they don't need it. But they're a small group. They're a small piece of an overall pie. But our major focus is on our small media.
But this is the government telling everybody who's struggling to pay for the groceries, struggling to pay their energy bills, that we need to target measures, and that's why you're not getting anyone's offs. But you're telling me
measures. We're
still going to give this to successful businesses because Asher...
No, we're not saying that. What we're saying is we're going to give it to small medium enterprises, and the budget hasn't been decided yet. But what we are doing is ensuring that you protect jobs. And at a time of huge uncertainty, and it's very easy to be glib, and, you know, to beat opposition is quite easy for Sinead because she can command the programme and every programme and promise the world. But we must
deliver.
We
offer solutions that your government is never taking up. Throw at us is that we don't offer solutions. I am in no way being glib, and the people that I speak to who are choosing between heating and eating, they're not being glib either, Jerry.
I meet people every day, and I'm in schools and I'm in communities, and I meet people every day in community enterprises, social enterprises, small medium enterprises, families who benefit from hot school meals, from free books, from reduced transport costs. And I meet them every day, Sinead. I don't live in every tower. But what we have
Neither do I, Jerry.
What we have to do as a government is to ensure that we do two things, as I said a minute ago. make sure that we... And the reason we have been successful is because of the prudence of Pascal Donoghue. We had the pandemic unemployment payment. We had the energy supports for people because we had a surplus and we had the rainy
You're
day fund.
You're going back again now.
I am, but just, it's important.
But people know that.
But
what I'm trying to figure
care.
Out is why, when things are so tight, you think that it's okay to spend 870 million on a VAT cut for one sector, while turning around to everybody else and saying you're not getting anything.
But we are giving it to other people as well, and we're doing both. And what we're trying to do is to ensure, in the case of energy, and Dara O'Brien today is meeting with the energy companies, is that we have a measure that will look after the most vulnerable. Secondly, let me give you an example to listeners. I met with Energy Cloud this week in my capacity as Minister for Community, and we are, as a country, wasting 250 million euro per annum, perhaps, in renewable energy that's gone wasted. So we're working with Energy Cloud and others to make sure that we can have people in fuel poverty taken out of it. Equally, there is a role for the CRU. I agree with Sinead in this. There is a role for the CRU to bring in the energy companies to see what's going on here. We have, as Paul Staples said this week, a relatively stable market in terms of the prices. Mm. But what we must ensure is that there is no price gouging, that the energy companies are looking after customers. And you are right, I agree with you completely. People shouldn't have to swap and change and be on the phone for hours looking to get a better deal.
And But in committee yesterday, Jerry, you've spoken for a bit now. I'm going to let you.
I am chairing the debate and I'm letting Sinead speak. Go ahead. Jerry, stop.
In committee yesterday, my colleague Jennifer Whitmore raised at committee that some of these energy companies are saying on their website that they're blaming essentially the structural costs for the price hikes. There's no consistency across it. So now we hear government spokespeople all this morning coming out saying that they need to do this. But they are supposed to be enforcing this regulation. This shouldn't be arising because an opposition TD is raising it
but
in
it's
a
not
committee.
Sinead,
it
not.
Is the case.
We
you have
no
control over them. You're not holding them to account on their price hikes and their price gouging, and you're falling back on poor regulation, and you're the ones that aren't enforcing it. It's not the only area. I have the same issue in AI and tech, where we know that the DPC for years have known about that issue around trace data that was revealed last week, and your government has failed to enforce it and police it.
We have a government cross-party, cross-departmental, and Minister Brian chairs it, meeting today and meeting with the energy companies in terms of making sure that we have energy affordability and that there's an energy affordability action plan. We're also, which you didn't acknowledge, extending the 9% VAT rate in terms of gas electricity, which has brought 85 million to people during the course of this.
Sinead O'Carroll wants to come in here now. Sinead, go ahead.
I was just going to say there's just a very similar argument happening here with the big profits for the electric companies, often parent companies, international parent companies, and the big companies getting a lot from the reduced VAT rate. And I just wanted to give an example because Sinead mentioned the piece that we had from Paula Dunhill in the Journal. If you look at Supermax, so not even an international chain, if you look at Supermax, they run hotels in the food chain, their revenues rose by 7% to 294 million last year. McDonald's operating franchises, their profits were 42 million, up 17% last year. So they're the kind of numbers. So if you don't target those kind of measures, that's when the 12 euro down to 10 euro becomes, it feels really targeting the wrong thing. It feels really wrong to the people being like, well, but you can't give me the social
increase.
You can't give you're going to give me 10 instead of 12. But it's OK for these massive companies to be making 42 million on profits helped by this VAT cut rate. Why didn't you just reverse that and change mine? It feels like you don't need an economics degree for this stuff.
Yeah, to be honest, that's a very good point made. And last year, what we saw was 370 million being given to double child benefit, and that was 370 million. We also saw an increase in child poverty in the SILC data that came out in March this year, and we saw that child poverty is now shockingly 8.5% and 11% for one parent families. We can't give 370 million to every household when we have, you know, so many, over 103,000 children living in consistent poverty. That's where we targeted measures are so necessary and so needed.
And that's why I think that tariff kind of line and this whole line around protecting jobs, we of course also agree that we need to protect jobs and we need to protect against tariffs and erratic economic announcements from a US president. But the government only focuses on that. They just simply don't consider the fact that people are choosing right now between heating and eating, that people are in poverty, that children's lives lives are being affected for generations to come because they are homeless. Thousands of them are homeless right now. So that's the issue I have, is that it's across the board that we see this pro-industry stance and not enough focus on beyond economics are actual societal issues that need to be
dealt with. Jerry, do you want to respond to that before we move on?
Look, very, very, very simply, government is committed in the programme for government to reducing child poverty. We're looking at all options. The emphasis for this budget will be on directing supports to families with children where it's most needed. And I suppose the most important point is, what's happening in the world does have an impact. We see with Ukraine, we see with the whole issue with the tariffs, and we saw with Brexit, we saw with COVID. So you can't just dismiss what's happening. Government must ensure that we do the twin aims that we have. If we don't protect jobs, if we don't continue building infrastructure and building houses, you'll have a different tune. So government is doing what it said it will do, putting an emphasis on reducing child poverty. We're looking at all
government
the
options. Government said it was going to get rid of the means test for carers.
That will happen during the lifetime of this government, Sinead.
Yeah, lifetime of this government and phasing out. It needs to be done now.
It will happen during the lifetime of this government.
And if you're about to say that we weren't going to go into government, your government had already decided to go in with the Labour group before you even sat down with me.
The key point is that we have a 27 billion social protection budget. It's about ensuring that we protect the most vulnerable and those who need support. And we are very clear in that, and there'll be no demurring from responsibility. We also have a responsibility to protect and nurture and support jobs as well.
Listen, just in the few minutes that we have left, I want to touch on this Irish Times report, the Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan saying that government might consider using deportation hubs outside EU borders if it was found to be effective and contributed to consistency across the EU. Is that something we should be considering, Sinead Gibney?
Absolutely not. The Irish Times piece was interesting because there was many comments before it finally got to the point about the human rights abuses that we see in this case. What I think this is alongside all of the other very, very negative and restrictive and problematic kind of narrative that we're seeing come from this government, which is essentially dealing with, and I heard your interview earlier in the week with Minister Brophy around this, that they see all of the features, the positive features of our international protection system that treat people with humanity and dignity as elements of a pull factor. And that's what they're trying to address. And it is head in the sand time, because all EU member states are going to start doing this, batten down the hatches, looking at border detentions and so on. And it is denying the fact that we have 130 million people displaced globally. We're going to see more and more numbers of people. So when you say that the best way to deal with the rising costs of international protection is to reduce numbers, you simply don't finish the sentence, that those people are still going to be displaced. And we have international obligations to recognise people's right to claim asylum. And this denies that. And all of the government's restrictive measures do that.
Okay, I just want to bring you a statement on this from the Department of Justice. They say that the EU Commission published these proposals and the proposed regulation is currently under consideration. It'll be discussed by the Justice and Home Affairs Ministers from all EU member states at the Justice and Home Affairs Council. This is something, it would seem, that every country is considering. They say, aiming to introduce a more comprehensive, streamlined and efficient approach to asylum and migration in Ireland and the EU. Louise, what's your view on it?
It's actually heartbreaking just listening to it, because we're talking about people as if they're not human people and that they're a problem. And I just think the idea that we're talking about people as problems is an issue, and it's the way it's being framed. And I think it's also a reaction to what we're seeing in the US, and we have to be careful that we don't go down that path.
Would you be supportive, Jerry, of this?
First of all, can I just make the point that if you look at what Jim O'Callaghan was actually asked, he said, were we in favour of deportation hubs? He didn't say it was government policy. He said he was not ruling it out. And the statement you just read out is that the EU proposal from the Commission is being considered by all EU states. We are a country of welcomes. We've shown it. We have a migration global crisis that we cannot ignore. We have an international responsibility in terms of human rights to uphold. We are doing that. We are spending 1.2 billion.
We're not doing
billion,
that. We're not meeting Sinead, our obligations.
Sinead,
we're
Sinead,
not, though.
Sinead,
I mean, we were one of the only
respect.
EU member states who had the opportunity to opt out of some of the EU migration and asylum pact modules, and we chose not to, because this government is choosing to go down a tough on immigration line to appease voters.
Just as Jerry finish his point before we come
I was going to make two points, Claire. Number one, we're spending 1.2 billion on accommodation for international protection. Secondly, we are, as a state, fair and firm in our immigration policy, in our migration policy.
3,000 people have been refused accommodation.
Well, we are a place of welcome. We've proven that.
Okay.
We, as a minister in the Department of Community, I see every week and every day the inclusivity and the welcome from state at local and national level and in communities.
All right.
And we are certainly a country that is... But we need to have
Jerry,
an honest debate.
I'm out of time. Sorry. So, Jerry, sorry to cut across you there in that instance. Jerry Buttermer there, Minister of State at the Department of Rural and Community Development. Sinead Gibney here from the Social Democrats. Sinead O'Carroll from the Journal and Louise Bayliss from the Vincent de Paul.